Welcome to the Hamburg Aviation Green Podcast. My name is Angus Bajant. Hydrogen in aviation seems to be gaining quite a lot of traction at the moment. In the first half of 2023, ZeroAvia ran its first hydrogen fuel cell powered flight tests. And just recently, Germany just updated its national hydrogen strategy to double the production target for green hydrogen by 2030. And of course, more and more airports in Europe at the moment are collaborating on adding hydrogen infrastructure for the 2030s, including Hamburg Airport's collaborations with Baltic Airports, as well as Rotterdam, The Hague. But what are the challenges for making that happen, for implementing hydrogen at airports, handling a cryogenic fuel, and building aircraft that run it? The Hydrogen Aviation Lab is a world-first project right here in Hamburg, a testbed using a retired A320 airframe to exactly answer these questions and close a pretty big expertise and knowledge gap for hydrogen adoption. And with me to tell us more about the Hydrogen Aviation Lab, how it works, and how it fits into current developments in decarbonizing aviation, is Hans-Bernd Ehringhoff, Hansi Ehringhoff, Head of Corporate Innovation at Lufthansa Technik. Welcome, Hansi, to the podcast.
Hi, Angus. Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be with you and, yeah, curious to see what we can talk today.
Yeah, cool. So just before we look into the future of aviation and hydrogen, quick look back at your past. What's the first memory you have of flying or aircraft when you were a kid?
So actually, I was grown up already a bit. It was not my first flight, but I would say the most important one that I had so far. I applied at this company, Lufthansa Technik, and I was living in Nuremberg at the time, and so they booked me a flight. And when I went there on the evening before the interviews, the lady at the counter told me, "Yes, I'm very sorry, the flight is overbooked and we don't have a seat for you." So I looked at her and I said, "Well, there is a reason I have to fly with this one. It's very important because I have an interview at your company." So she looked at me and she said, "Okay, wait a moment, I'll check out something." So she came back and said, "Here you have a ticket." Like on the seat, there was something listed called standby that I didn't understand by the time. She said, "Go to the gate, talk to the captain, and maybe he can help you." So I had no idea what to do. I went through. I was at the gate. So again, I asked the lady, what shall I do with this? She said, "Yeah, let's go to the captain and talk to him." So I went there and I asked the captain, "I have this ticket here, I don't know what to do." And he looked at me, "Standby ticket, okay, so you're an employee." I said, "No, I want to be an employee."
"Not yet, but hopefully soon."
He said, "Okay, but the chances are good that you will be an employee." I said, "Yeah, obviously." And he said, "Okay, so you're good to go, you come with us in the cockpit."
Wow, awesome.
That was my first flight with Lufthansa.
Fantastic, great story. So coming to the present day, tell us a little bit about your role at Lufthansa Technik.
So the corporate innovation, as you call it, it's not only about the word innovation itself, it's very much about research itself, what we're doing there. So we have a central team at Lufthansa Technik, also located here at the headquarters in Hamburg, where we have two main pillars what we are doing. First of all, we are, let's say, the organizing and the administrating part for all research activities within the whole Lufthansa Technik company. And the second is that we on our own, we have projects, we have project leads that are working within my department there. And for example, also the Hydrogen Aviation Lab is one of our own research projects that we're pushing forward.
Fantastic. So let's just have a look a bit about the background before we have a look at the Hydrogen Aviation Lab and what, how it works and that whole framework. Let's have a look at decarbonization pathways generally. So obviously hydrogen is the focus of this particular project. Where does that fit in, hydrogen as a fuel, in terms of sustainable aviation fuels, electrification? What's worth pursuing for hydrogen as a prospective fuel?
Mm-hmm. I would like to distinguish the different technologies and their chances and mm-hmm. applications. Mm-hmm. So hydrogen itself, or in our case, liquid hydrogen, most probably, is a very promising pathway, primarily for short-haul flights. And that's due to its, let's say, limitations in energy density that we have compared to kerosene. And it can complement sustainable aviation fuels and electrification as well as an alternative that is also like very low emission. It's not zero at all if you're looking at it physically, but it's way lower than today's aviation. So if I recall all the options that you mentioned, sustainable aviation fuel SAF is probably the easiest way to adapt to today's ecosystem, because actually only the engines need to be modified and certified to run on 100% SAF at the end, and you could use the same infrastructure at the airports, the same aircraft to have that.
So I'm dropping in that fuel.
Yes.
Very little adaptations required.
Yes, very little adaptations in the whole ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So, however, if you look at hydrogen, it will require new aircraft designs. It will require new infrastructure at the airports itself. However, we see from a technological perspective, or we expect that using hydrogen instead of sustainable aviation fuels, will bring more benefits in various dimensions. One, it has an even better or lower climate impact if you use that instead of sustainable aviation fuels. The second is the efficiency of the initial green energy use is better, or you have more potential with hydrogen. And actually also at the end, we see chances that the full prices, hydrogen compared to SAF, will be also quite significantly lower. So, and this is not about climate, but it's very important for an economical reasons for the airlines.
Sure, I'm sure the airlines are going to be very happy to hear that.
Yeah. Okay, and besides that, you also mentioned electrification. Mm-hmm. And on that, I would like to make also like two different points that are there, because you have to distinguish what electrification means. There is two ways. You can use hydrogen and batteries to power an electric motor and a propeller. So both are very different options. The option that would be most similar to today's operations is to use hydrogen, and you can burn it in an engine, for example. On the other side, you can also use a fuel cell system, produce electrical energy, and drive an electric motor. So that's the one thing. And the other option is you use batteries, as you know it from today's cars. So you use batteries as energy source, and you power electric engines with those. However, physics in aviation will make it quite unlikely from our perspective that commercial aircraft will ever be powered by batteries, because of the weight that you have to transport is relatively high compared to the amount of energy you have within batteries.
Right.
So let's say with small aircraft, with Pipers, with Cessnas, then there is a chance, but not for the commercial. So electrical flying will also mean using hydrogen, using fuel cells, and driving an electric motor.
So if we're looking at the hydrogen pathways, what kind of aircraft or ranges and passenger capacity are we looking at?
So the interesting piece for the climate itself mainly is you have to come into the commercial aviation first of all. And the second is from the range, you look at short-haul aircraft for the moment in terms of hydrogen. So it means regional jets which have a typical, let's say, 50 to 100 seats. Or if we are technically able to do that, actually the big, let's say, big market we want to tackle is the A320s and the 737s that we have, so the typical short-haul classic aircraft today.
If we compare, let's talk about liquid hydrogen, because I think that's what we're going to be focusing on today. So if we're comparing liquid hydrogen as a fuel, comparing that to kerosene, what do we not yet know about using liquid hydrogen in aviation?
Mm-hmm. So maybe let me highlight one thing that you have put up front. So why are we talking about liquid hydrogen? Because
right.
This is, again, technically the more complicated
right.
option.
Right.
However, because hydrogen is something, as energy source is used in various industries for the last decade, so it's very known. But usually you have it in a gaseous state, which is easy, let's say, to transport, easy to bring it into that. However, with liquid hydrogen, we have the chance to bring more energy in the same amount of volume. And that's like crucial and critical exactly for aircraft operations, because that's anyway the limiting factor. That's why we are only looking at short-haul flights at the moment. So it's liquid hydrogen. This, again, is very specific. So liquid hydrogen is not a typical usage in most of the industries. So if you're looking at commercial introduction of this new ecosystem, there's a few challenging tasks. So one is the production and the distribution infrastructure that we have to establish for hydrogen, and also like the storage at the airports. So just imagine, there won't be one rollover from day one to day two that we switch all the aircraft. So we have at least 15 to 20 years in parallel, not even more. So all the infrastructure has to be built up additionally to today's existing one. And
also all the processes that we have to handle like this new medium on the ground at the airports will require safety measures. You know, kerosene is also something that requires safety measures, but it will be different here.
Yeah,
like
it's
different physically. It's different processes that we need, different trainings for all the employees handling this. And another factor that is also to be considered is if you try to do it from a technically real, like full-scale perspective. So don't look only at one flight from A to B where you say, okay, it's hydrogen, you haven't produced any CO2, we're good. That's good, but it's not enough because you have to take into look the whole life cycle. So you have to take the production of the aircraft, all the emissions you produce with that. Then you have 20 or 30 years of operations. And as you might know from our company, an aircraft doesn't fly from itself. There's a lot to be done in the 30 years to keep it airworthy. And at the end, also like you will produce emissions with the dismantling and like the end of life of the aircraft. So we try to make a full, let's say, full scope on that whole topic and then to evaluate how much we can gain to today's operations. And so, you know, you have to compare manufacturing, operations, technical maintenance, repair, overhaul activities, and also like the end-of-life activities. And then we can really like put it into a comparison to today's flying and with that performance.
So let's focus a little bit on the Hydrogen Aviation Lab, the project. It's a world first testbed of its kind. At least I don't know of any other comparable projects using a real A320 or some comparable airframe to test these kind of processes. How is the Hydrogen Aviation Lab designed to answer the questions you've been talking about?
Mm-hmm. So first of all, I don't know of any other projects like that. I'm pretty sure there won't be any other projects like that in the future, and I will try to explain why.
Okay.
So first of all, what are we talking about? The Hydrogen Aviation Lab is a decommissioned Airbus A320 that we have been flying in our fleet for more than 30 years. So just imagine what you have been doing in 1991 when this one was introduced.
Right.
So first of all, it's decommissioned, which is important. We have it at our base at Lufthansa Technik here next to the airport. So one benefit that we have, we don't need to keep the certification upright with that, which makes it a lot easier for us, you know, to plan, to work, to try things out, because we don't want to make this specific one fly anymore. So that would be just something that prevents to do real research. So we are way faster with that. And with the project that we have, we focus on different things. One of that is ground processes, like everything I just mentioned before, on looking at the whole infrastructure, safety, fueling, defueling, towing, parking of this aircraft. For example, like, you know, if you want to have it stored for a longer time, we have to define how you want to store it. Do you defuel it? Do you leave it as it is? What is the best option technically from also the climate viewpoint? And so then if you take on the whole process chain from delivering hydrogen, the maintenance, qualification, protective measures, toolings, and all the lifecycle considerations that we have, I've just mentioned, that's, you know, a very broad range of things that need to be examined. And, you know, one question everybody might ask, or people do ask me, is like, you know, Airbus is working on aircraft, all the engine manufacturers are working on the engine, so why do we need you? All of these topics are not done by them at the moment. They focus on the technology to build up a flying aircraft.
Right.
That's the one side. The other side is to make it work after
that. And this is crucial to the market introduction, because all these questions have to be answered. There have to be solutions, and they have to be, if there's certification required, they have to be certified. Yeah. Of course, safety for personnel using this fuel on the ground, that's, of course, totally crucial. So in a way, you're closing the gap, in a way,
and
answering a lot of questions that need to be answered before we can.
And to be honest, proceed. It's not only us, because the project itself that we are doing is not run by us. It's a it's a large partnership, like various DLR institutes already right now. We are just building it up. Four different DLR institutes are within this project. The ZAL, the Center for Aviation Research here in Hamburg, is also like within the project. The Hamburg Airport itself is also part of it. And last but not least, also to mention, the city of Hamburg is financing this activity with a very big support and funding. So, you know, this is like something really that the whole aviation network here in Hamburg is pushing forward and supporting. And you know, if you take all that together, I'm pretty sure there won't be any second project like this.
Right. So You mentioned that the Abrams not flying anymore. So the idea is that there's a fuel cell, and just describe a little bit about how the actual the test bed is built up. Mm-hmm. So I've got a fuel cell, and then I've got as a power source. Then I've got I think you're using a galley to draw the. Is it a coffee machine? I don't know what actually is the equipment that you've got that's drawing the power to simulate the running system.
Yes, so that's the first big milestone we want to achieve. We want to make coffee with this aircraft. it's like, yeah, the old galley is still in there. Let's say the right. inner equipment, what we right. need is there. And yeah. so the first step is really to power this galley, and then step by step from that going into like having more of the aircraft systems powered by that. But the whole value chain will be, let's say, demonstrated and also like tested within this facility. So what we do is we will establish a process to deliver liquid hydrogen into this aircraft, which will be also like partially on our ground, partially on the Hamburg airport. So to test out both variants, right. look at the regulatory side from it. So delivering it, then storing it, we have, let's say, attached to the aircraft, we have an external tank system that we also have, which, you know, kind of as a first simulation of an airport related mm-hmm. tank system. So the storage there, we have to condition it, to condition monitor the liquid hydrogen within this external tank, and then we will fuel our aircraft from there. There's another second smaller tank that we have in the aircraft for now, also still liquid hydrogen, and from there the whole chain is you transport the liquid hydrogen up to the fuel cell. There's an evaporator, so you have to convert it right before you put it into a fuel cell to gaseous state again, and the fuel cell will produce the electrical power, and that again will be used to, you know, for the first moment power the galley, but you know, we will expand it step by step with other setups to run more and more of the aircraft systems with liquid hydrogen at the end as a green energy source.
What are the challenges that the fuel cell and the fuel is presenting me with?
So I always compare it to Jet A1, to today's mm-hmm. kerosene. Mm-hmm. One thing you have to remember, you know, 100 years ago, also that one was something new. Right. So also yes. that had a lot of challenges. Yeah. But we have a new topic now. So compared to today's operations, there is various aspects of differences in engineering and designing approaches. So, for example, the conditioning of this medium and the condition monitoring in terms of pressure, where you store it, maybe in the aircraft, but also like at the airport. So pressure, temperatures, energy mass flows are much more complex from a process design, because liquid hydrogen, or like hydrogen, is only in a liquid state if you store it with -253 degrees of Celsius, so 20 Kelvin. And you have to keep the temperature upright to have it in a liquid state. So, and let's say, why do we need all of that? You have to go back at the end side, like on the fuel cell. The fuel cell system with the tank, evaporator, and the control system, for example, also have a very different reaction to changes in energy demand and in mass flows. So on a typical engine, if you ever have done a go around in a flight, you know, mm-hmm. you push it and half a second later you're going upwards again.
Right.
A fuel cell typically cannot do these changes in the power demand very easily, or let's say in a very effective way. So also for that, with the corresponding flows of hydrogen and the energy flows, we have to make different considerations how we want to run the system mm-hmm. and how mm-hmm. we steer it. So there may be, or there will be probably, a need to have buffers for peak energy demands. Buffers are technically batteries. Or we have to reorganize the aircraft itself, how it demands energy, how it, you know, will have peaks in the lower and upper states, to make the energy flows more steadily, because the fuel cell itself, you know, feels the best when it's just run on a constant output.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this one needs to be considered on the control side, and also the operations concept, to make the system, let's say, work differently. It's more complex than you have it today with the typical generators for electrical energy, like the APUs or the engine generators. And besides that, that's not everything. If you're looking at all the components that are within the system, for example, routing liquid hydrogen from an external tank into the aircraft is already something that is not discovered yet, how you do the couplings, how you make sure that you don't lose your liquid state or your temperature state within that.
It took you a long time to find a supplier to provide you with some of the components for the hydrogen aviation lab. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, without naming the supplier. So actually, at the end, after a long search, a long global search, we found one supplier from Hamburg who were able to supply a coupling that, let's say, fits to our requirements. And requirements means it has to be able to fuel liquid hydrogen. Mm-hmm. But also it has to produce a distinct mass flow. So we don't get far if we're able to fill in 1 kilogram per minute, and it will take us 2 days to fill up an aircraft or even more. So you have to have a certain mass flow. But that wasn't everything, actually, because that's only the coupling. Now, how you do this coupling to bring it into the aircraft and from the outer shell of the aircraft to bring it inside, nothing is available. We design it on our own now.
Right, so there was no commercially available solution for this. You had to basically design it yourself.
Exactly.
Ah, okay. Something that's mentioned often in discussions about hydrogen, it's obviously the boil-off effect. Mm-hmm.
So first of all, what is boil-off? So what happens is, the liquid hydrogen is stored in a tank system, but it's not actively cooled. It's just insulated, as I say, just. Mm-hmm. And it will keep it with this minus 253 degrees Celsius for a quite long time. However, you never can insulate it to fully 100%. So energy is coming in from the outside. So there will be a point where the liquid hydrogen gets warmer. And after a certain tipping point, it will get gaseous. And this one, you have to manage to get that out of the tank. Otherwise, your tank would explode at the end, just to make it very simple, because pressure would just rise. So, and this is the so-called boil-off effect that you have to manage. And so managing means, first of all, you have to manage the mass amount, what you want to allow. But this is like a design parameter. So let's say the less you allow, the heavier your tank will get. Also, like the thicker your wallings and your insulation are. However, you have to match it with aviation requirements, where you exactly need low volumes and low masses. But typically today, you're looking at rates that are typical for tanks, about 1% per day. So if you store liquid hydrogen, you would lose 1% per day just because of the boil-off and the evaporation of the gaseous portion. But also, like, not only the mass, but also like the direction has to be managed, because you don't just leave it outside, because it could accumulate and make up to an explosive amount of not liquid gaseous hydrogen then. Mm-hmm. So in our case, we took care of that with the external tank. So we have to manage the boil off there. With the internal one, we don't need it for the moment, because we will only fuel it exactly to the amount that we need for running tests, and we'll really like empty it all the time. So, but also the fuel cell for itself will produce some let's say products, exhaust gases, for example from the cathode, that we have to manage and to route it out of this operational system, as we'll do it later on in aircraft. So you cannot just make it accumulating within the shell. And specifically, if you would have an accident or an incident, an event, then you have to make sure that residual gases are discharged and they're not in the aircraft anymore. So we have a gas warning system, also something that, is never been used in this setup, in this framework, where we have to make our research and our experience with that. And we'll also use smart sensor technologies, which are part actually of the project itself, of the research that we are doing. And as all of the others in the aviation industry, we have to gain knowledge. We don't know how these systems will perform, how we best manage it with the minimum effort, but to make it safe and to allow flying safely as it is today.
Just quick follow-up question on the detection, the gas warning system. Is that the hydroleak system developed by 3D Aero?
I may not talk about this at the moment, but I think that's something for a second podcast.
Okay,
later.
Okay, all right, okay, cool. I was talking to those guys, because obviously they're part of the GATE funding program, and I know that they've been working on a technology in this area. But obviously this is something, monitoring gas leaks. I think they're using streaking and then detecting that visually. Lots of interesting areas for innovation, definitely, around a lot of these issues. So let's just talk very briefly about the genesis of the Hydrogen Aviation Lab, because the project was conceived in a bit of an unusual scenario. You were on board during that process, weren't you? Tell us a little bit about some of the background there.
So I would say when the aviation industry was most struggling during COVID, the city of Hamburg made a very smart decision. And decision was to support the local industry here and at least to allow that, let's say, looking into the future, working at the future is not being stopped fully. So the idea was that despite economical crisis, the aviation sector should still work on the future of flying. And it was an initiative from the city of Hamburg. So also, like, this project is funded by the EFB, Investitions- and Förderbank here in Hamburg. And that's, you know, we are more than grateful for that. I cannot even say because this initiative from the city of Hamburg at least made it happen. We would never have this aircraft and never have this setup and the idea if we wouldn't have that funding, because at that time we were not able to do things on our own.
I mean, it's funny how quickly that period, how quickly you get back to normal and how much you quickly forget about what an unusual situation that was. And there were existential question marks hanging over aviation. How long is this going to last?
May I add one thing? You said, like, you know, we're back at normal times. I don't think we're back at normal times. So if you look at, you know, 2019 to 2023, I think aviation has come back in a really push and power that nobody had expected. So you can see us at Lufthansa Technik, you can see the colleagues at Airbus, we're working off ourselves like crazy.
Yeah.
But I think this is like, that's exactly now the chance and the focus. Like, you know, aviation is back more than ever. You know, we hit it like the pre-COVID numbers already.
Right.
And so, you know, this brings us way much into the focus, you know, also like from politics here in Hamburg, but also like on politics in Germany, in the European Union. And that's exactly the chance to bring the right attention to research, to bring the right attention to looking at different ways to do this and,
absolutely,
you know, to drive it into, let's say, kind of climate neutrality, or at least minimizing the climate impact as good as possible physically. Yeah. So, you know, it's, to be honest, for us, it's a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. Give us a little bit. You mentioned that the German Aerospace Center is also involved in the project, the Center for Aeronautical Research, the ZAL here in Hamburg Airport. How are the tasks and the various areas divided up amongst the research partners?
So we have divided tasks following mainly the skills of each of our partners and ourselves. Mm-hmm. So starting with us, Lufthansa Technik is responsible for the aircraft and everything related to the aircraft itself. So we also, like, still this one is under a maintenance program. You know, we're keeping care of it.
Right,
we have to use it for the next 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
We're looking at the whole ground infrastructure that we set up and develop, the system integration, the overall system, and also, like, the delivery of the hydrogen. DLR, for example, is working on a digital platform that we also do parallel to this physical mock-up. So we'll have like a digital twin to also like start pre-simulations to verify physical experiments that we have and to use it to build up further models out of that. And they also like are responsible for the adaption and the engineering of the fuel cell and the internal liquid hydrogen tank to make them work together. The ZAL itself takes care of this external liquid hydrogen storage and distribution unit, as we call it. And the sensorics that we have in this environment, and the Hamburg Airport itself, you know, will support us a lot with, you know, operating measures there to work on that and to see how we could do it in a later commercial real application.
So how long is the project going to run? I think it started, kicked off 2021, and I think the aircraft arrived 2022, but you were mentioning that some of the components proved to be a bit more challenging perhaps than you were anticipating. What kind of a timeline are you anticipating right now for the project?
Yeah, as I said, it started in 21. However, it was like not physical at that moment. You know, we did all the planning, so the aircraft arrived in 22. And at the moment, we are planning to make the first runs end of 23.
Mm-hmm.
So, with like the whole system installed, and the project itself will be, let's say, funded and also like supported by the DFB until mid of 24. However, that's not yet. That's, to mention that, for us, it's only a starting point because this is actually like we don't have much research that we have done yet on that. We have set up a system, first of all. We have set up a ground infrastructure. And so together with our partners, we have created this worldwide unique research environment in real scale, a real environment with a real aircraft. And we want to use this for, let's say, various future activities and research projects. So I can already tell you that we have funding for two projects. I won't mention which of these they are, but we already have secured that, so we can work on from 24 also on that. And besides that, there is like, you know, a bunch of really like very prospective discussions we have with other industry partners to look at specific topics with each of them and to use this infrastructure that we have here and, you know, to make it one of the centers of research for hydrogen.
How does the Hydrogen Aviation Lab fit in with other activities that you're currently engaged in Hamburg towards adopting hydrogen?
So besides this program, we have a bunch of programs within the German LUFO funding program, Luftfahrtforschung.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's, sorry, just for listeners who might be not familiar, that's the National Aerospace Research Funding Program run by the German government.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So, and besides that, we're also on high level. There is a project on the European Union level, the Clean Aviation mm-hmm. Undertaking, mm-hmm. where we also are participating as one of the founding members, and also like we are actively working on research, but we also handed in further research applications for the next years. And, you know, the overall, as I just said, the overall goal is that we build up the expertise on our side from, let's say, from that point of the whole ecosystem that we serve today, that we want to serve in the future.
Right.
And so one of the projects that I just mentioned before, where we got the confirmation already, that is a LUFO project, that will deal with optimizing maintenance and maintenance concept of all of these liquid hydrogen systems and components. And so because we have a fully functional system, you know, it's not exactly as it will fly, but the overall functionality is there, all the components are there, and step by step we can get closer with every modification, every update that we have from other OEMs to bring it into something that will be very close to a flying aircraft within the next 10 to 15 years.
So how does Hydrogen Aviation Lab fit in with the overall picture of H2 adoption in aviation and in Hamburg specifically?
So Hamburg has a lot of important projects on adapting hydrogen in various applications. So just to name a few examples, the so-called HaHa Wind project by the Gasnetz Hamburg, which will create an industry network with, let's say, about 60 kilometers of length to deliver hydrogen into industrial companies mm-hmm. here in Hamburg. Or another one, the Hamburg Green Hydrogen Hub. This one intends to transform the former coal-fired power plant in Moorburg to an electrolyzer, and that will at the end produce green hydrogen as of mm-hmm. around 2025.
So what are the other significant research projects around aviation in Hamburg around hydrogen?
Just to mention two, maybe. There's, mm-hmm. there's way more, mm-hmm. but two important projects that we have. So one is called H2finity. Which addresses the research and testing of a scalable hydrogen powertrain that is for light and medium aircraft, so probably not our business itself as company. But the other one, and I think this is like one of the most important, if it's not the most important, it's like Airbus with their Zero E project, which has the intention to implement a hydrogen-powered commercial aircraft by around 2035, mm-hmm. and, as I told you, in reusable scale. So it will mm-hmm. be at least a regional aircraft with around 100 seats that can really be like used in commercial operations.
Hansi Aringhoff, thank you so much for giving us so many great insights into your work around the Hydrogen Aviation Lab and some of the challenges ahead and how you guys are at Lufthansa Technik are working on them and collaborating with other partners to make progress in something that's going to be very, very important for everyone, I think, looking ahead.
Thank you very much, Angus.
If you have any feedback for us, drop us a line to our email address. That's podcast@hamburg-aviation.com, or drop us a line to our LinkedIn. If you like what you hear, follow us and give us a thumbs up on your platform of choice. And hope to welcome you to our podcast again next time.